Part 3, Chapter 7, Death Swallowed Up in Victory. We would now like to draw your attention to the last part of 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. You will, of course, have read this part of the Bible countless times and often heard it quoted. Perhaps you know it by heart, yet we feel we must emphatically draw your attention to it, for in this passage, literally the same message as that proclaimed by the spiritual school is imparted to all who wish to understand. The spiritual school speaks so vigorously about these same things because it concerns the message of the end, the classic message about the end of every dialectical manifestation, when, at a given moment, the radiations of the new life descend into time to envelop all who can be helped. Behold, says Paul, I tell you a mystery. This word does not allude to a secret which must be kept at all costs. No, facts and realities are alluded to here which are secret and veiled for those totally submerged in nature. To them the mystery will remain totally secret, even if one did everything to explain it to them in all frankness. They would be unable to comprehend it. They would be unable to solve the riddle, thus proving the saying, that which remains hidden to the wise and knowledgeable of this world is revealed to the children of God. But the mystery is unveiled to those who can understand that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and that the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. You ought to ask yourself if you understand it. Many people in this world, for instance, the greater part of the natural religious people and those oriented towards the occult, depart from the premise that the relationship between dialectics and original life is to be compared with low and high, and that one can evolve, can penetrate via a path of initiation from the low to the high, that one can, from this nature, evolve and initiate oneself to the original life while preserving this nature, while maintaining one's consciousness. This is what Paul means by inherit, entering original life. An inheritance implies that I, as an heir, will receive something at a given moment, and so too I am on my way to this inheritance. I am growing, evolving towards it. You must, however, understand that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that the perishable, dialectics, the nature of death, cannot inherit the imperishable. Dialectics cannot pass into or be elevated to the original. If you clearly realize this, if you see through the nature of dialectics and your structural bond to it, if you know of an immovable kingdom, then you understand that everything belonging to this nature must be left behind. When, armed with such knowledge, you profoundly hope and long for liberation, knowing that the corruptible cannot inherit the incorruptible, then you too can say, I cannot understand it. But I know the path pointed out by the spiritual school is correct and true, and I can't go back. I want to go that path. When you know yourself to be in that state of being, the veil falls from the mystery and everything becomes totally clear to you. When an interested person comes in contact with the school, begins to study its literature and attends the courses, one of the course director's first tasks is to explain to him or her the essence of the two orders of nature, the nature of death in and of which we are, and of the immovable kingdom in and of which we are not. If you comprehend the relationship between those natures and the gaping chasm separating them, then you are ripe to understand the mystery of salvation to which Paul refers in 1 Corinthians 15. For when you no longer try to evolute away from this world, when you no longer try to come to a solution in this nature, you are admitted by the power of the gnosis into a process of change. Or it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That means, at a clearly discernible moment, the last trumpet begins to sound. A properly tuned trumpet has a wonderful tone with an extraordinary penetrating capacity. When a good trumpeter plays on his instrument, it can be very moving. The sound of the trumpet is used as a symbol for a remarkable vibration which will gain power over the world and mankind, the vibration of the new magnetic field which has spread out over the entire world via the seven schools. This vibration of this trumpet is taken over by the apostles, prophets, and teachers, by those holding the three offices. Now, this vibration is sent forth via the faculties previously discussed for all who are able and wish to perish according to nature. When you no longer expect anything of this world, and this not as dogma but through knowledge from within, and you are entirely directed towards the other realm, then you will be touched by the vibration of the new kingdom. Then the trumpet sounds for you. Then this power enters the permanent atom, breaks into you, and starts a process in your system. All who have been admitted to this process are changed, literally and bodily changed, in this world-embracing stream of power. How and in which respect, you might ask? You have just heard it in Paul's words. The corruptible, the mortal, the finite, that which belongs to this nature of death, will put on the incorruptible. The corruptible cannot inherit the incorruptible, but can put it on, that is to say, it is confronted with it with clearly recognizable consequences, for all corruption in our microcosm must be attacked and destroyed, must totally vanish. Many, as Paul says, will die, will lose the body by ordinary death during this process, but free of all nature, they will pass to that vacuum to which we refer as the vacuum of Shambhala. They will be free. Those who have entered this process will be kept free of the entire reflection sphere. Should incidental death, the ordinary death of nature, come upon us in this situation, i.e., after having been admitted to the process of change, it will make no difference. The so-called dead there, as Paul says, will be raised, and the so-called living here will be changed. In this raising from the top down and this change from the bottom up, the two groups grow towards one another. And at a given moment, all separation will disappear, the veils will be torn apart, and we shall stand in one freedom and in one brotherhood. Then the following words become reality. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever stands in this process can jubilantly cry, "Death no longer frightens me." When we stand in those manifold soundings of the trumpet, when we can hear something of that miraculous concert, what does death matter to us? Are you afraid of death in that state of being? Is it not nonsense still to be afraid of it? We do not console one another, as do the natural religious masses in their delusion. Soon we shall meet again in heaven. No, we say to one another, we shall meet in the new field of life. From corruption, From the grey mists of night, we arise renewed into the light of morning. This is our certainty. For this reason, we have discussed the faculties of the new human being. This is why we have called your attention to these faculties, so that you may know that the time has come, that the trumpet has sounded, and you will say, "I hear its sound," and you will experience this positive certainty in your heart, the certainty of knowing. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. The raising of the dead and the great metamorphosis have commenced. The veils will soon rip apart, and with all the others, with all those liberated, we shall be together in the new field of life. Brothers and sisters, the night will soon be over.